The gospel lesson for today is found in Matthew chapter 15, beginning with the 21st verse, which reads as follows in Jesus' name. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him, crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Jesus did not answer a word, so his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. These are thy words, Heavenly Father. Sanctify them in thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. You may be seated. This woman was a Canaanite woman, and she was a Gentile coming from Canaan in the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is on the coastline of the Mediterranean Sea. And for years, these Canaanites had fought against the people of Israel. And it's one of the reasons why when Noah led the people across into the promised land, they went through the Red Sea, was to avoid the Canaanites. And this woman had a request. She was a Gentile, a Canaanite, and had a request. The Canaanite woman had a problem with her daughter, and her daughter was suffering from demon possession. Or at least it says here, is suffering terribly from demon possession. And so we have to conclude that whatever the problem was, we don't know and we cannot really analyze what the problem was that her daughter was having, but she was suffering from it. And evidently the demon was torturing her in some way. And it was not an easy thing to see someone that would be tortured by a demon spirit. And they can do quite a bit of havoc with a person and make them ill and so that they do not feel well and so on, coming and going out of a body, because a demon spirit looks for the possession of a body. And so her daughter was suffering. And I would think, too, a mother would suffer if they saw their child being possessed by a demon spirit, especially a mother, but a father as well, and other members of the family. So it was a family problem and a family difficulty that they were having. And what to do about that? That was her problem. That was her concern. Maybe she had gone to people to try to get help, as many do even today. They go to people to try to get help, but get no help. And so they suffer on and on with that particular problem that they're facing. And in this case, demon possession. And so this Canaanite woman, this Gentile, went to Jesus and asked this favor of him to heal her daughter, whatever the problem was that needed healing, which was undoubtedly to send the demon spirit on its way. How did this woman hear of Jesus? The reason that I asked that is because he was sent only to the people of Israel. And up to this point, if some Gentile heard and accepted Christ, that was fine, but he went right directly to the people of Israel. In our study in Acts chapter 10 and 11 today, we will cross over this information. How had she heard? Because Jesus had never been in Tyre and Sidon. He had never crossed over into Gentile territory. And he had never gone into Canaan. And it's remarkable of how she heard of him. She probably had not visited Galilee. She maybe, or any other area where Jesus was at or ministered to. And the message of his healing ability, however, had come to be known by her and probably her family. And the question is, why didn't she bring this girl with her? But she didn't, which requires a different faith as well, that she didn't bring the child with her. And she evidently thought that Jesus could heal her from afar. And so she wanted this healing power for her child and for herself and for her husband and for her family. And she felt a great need for Jesus. We were talking today, or yesterday, Marilyn and I, reading about some that had committed suicide here recently in two people that were associated with the movie industry. And we hear about people doing that every once in a while in our area as well. People that could find help if they would just look for help. And I said, I think probably most churches in our area could minister to people with this problem of depression. But depression is magnified, and I say this time and time again, by the prescription of drugs, which lead to further problems and difficulties because people want to handle their depression. But if they would just look at themselves and what they are doing and what the stress indicators are in their lives and so on, they probably could override depression without drugs. And some are taking depressive medication as prescribed by local doctors, which never, I don't think, should be done. It should be done by a psychiatrist who can understand what might happen in these instances. Well, she didn't have any depressive medication, but I'm sure this woman was depressed as she came to Jesus, and she felt, however she heard of Jesus, I don't know. But somehow the message had spilled over into Canaan. But the question is, what exactly did this woman believe? In her eyes, what did she think of Jesus? Who did she think Jesus was? Did she have some kind of a understanding of who Jesus was and what he has done and so on? Or was she just interested in having her demon spirit daughter healed? I wonder those things as we look into the life of this one woman. And in such a situation as this, we can also conclude to have a daughter suffering from the torments of a demon spirit. It was a family illness. And mothers have an ability, an uncanny ability to figure out what's wrong in the lives of their children. And a profound interest and concern that begins from the time of birth. It would be like living with someone who has an addiction of some kind. It affects the whole family. So she was here. And he didn't answer her a word in verse 23. Jesus did not answer her a word. Not even a word. Can you imagine the consternation of someone seeking help and not getting an immediate answer, coming with concern and not getting an immediate answer? Well, when we pray too, there may be times, and there are times, when we do not get an immediate answer from Christ. It was like Jesus is totally deaf to her request here. How is it when we ask someone for something and get no for an answer? Has that ever happened to you? We get no for an answer. The person doesn't answer a word, and we want to have an answer as soon as possible. The first thing that might happen in this woman's life, as in anybody's life that is having a problem and difficulty, is that we may get angry. We may get angry. Now, anger is often felt when we want to correct something which seems not to be corrected. So between husbands and wives, children and mothers and dads and other family, when someone gets angry, it's a signal that they want to have something corrected. So anger is not all sinful and wrong, but anger is something whereby we are telling someone it needs to be corrected. We get angry, and that tells us that something is bothering us. Now, she could have gotten angry and stormed away. She could have just left the situation. But what was bothering her was strong enough to keep her there. And the disciples then took up her cause in a way. They wanted Jesus to answer her request because she's crying after us. And I don't know why it says us. Wasn't she directing Jesus? Who did these men think they are that they should say he's crying after us? Well, it means she's pestering him. That way they wouldn't have to put up with her anymore. Ever met somebody you'd like not to put up with anymore? Maybe. Not sure here, but why they may have gotten tired of her and wanted her request to be met by Jesus so that it would be, she wouldn't give him any more problems. Now, I think persistence in prayer is not a bad idea. The Bible teaches us to be in prayer at all times, in a mode of worship at all times, to pray without ceasing, to be in an attitude of prayer. And God remembers prayer and so on. And when we repeat it, that's just fine, just fine. And I think this woman's attitude towards getting an answer to her prayer, she hollered out, "Lord, help me." Well, he said, "I'm only sent to the people of Israel. I'm only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." Well, she was a Gentile. And he tells his disciples here that his first concern was for the people of Israel. His first concern was for his own Jewish people. His own people, and his secondary concern about the Gentiles. The woman was not only a Gentile, but she was a Canaanite. And we have to remember, though, that Jesus is not a respecter of persons, and all are equal in his holy eyes. He plays no favorites. Jesus wants all people to come to him. His interest is in saving people's souls, the souls of all people, that they come to the knowledge of the truth and acknowledge him. And he says, Paul says this in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." She does in verse 22. She calls Jesus Lord, Son of David. Well, now she knew something about the hopes of Israel. She comes as a sinner before Jesus. Well, how much faith did she show? What did she actually believe about Jesus? This remains the question. She must have known just enough about Jesus that he could stop the evil spirit from causing problems with their daughter and with their family. and she believed that Jesus could heal what was broken in her daughter and in her family and even in herself. If Jesus could stop the evil spirit from causing her sufferings, then her family would have a better time of it. So in verse 25, she knelt right before Jesus. She knelt right down in his pathway. And here we see that she actually worshiped Jesus. She kneels before him, blocking his pathway, and says, "Lord, help me." Her need was urgent. What she wanted for her daughter was urgent. Then in verses 26, he says, "It's not right to take the children's bread and give to their dogs." And that's what the Gentiles were called, Gentile dogs. "It's not right to take the children's bread and give to their dogs." And he just looked down on the woman and puts it to more of a test, like saying, "Why should I answer your request? You have been an enemy of the Jews for years, all of your Canaanite people. Why answer, are you not my enemy and the enemy of God and his people? Are you not? And all who are not followers of Jesus are pagans." They're pagans. They worship false idols. Now, if her heart was just looking for healing from her daughter, poor daughter, I think she would have risen then in anger and said something derogatory and went her way. But she didn't do that. The crumbs were enough. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that come from their master's table. And she calls Jesus Master. And God's grace is sufficient for an answer to this woman's dilemma. Jesus' silence had drawn out of this woman. He had drawn out an expression of faith. So maybe at the first, she did not understand, but she gained more and more understanding and faith as she continued to confront Jesus with her need. Her faith increased. And Jesus gave this mother her request. "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. Great faith. He did not even come close to this girl. Not close. Yet she was released of her suffering. She was released of her demonic oppression right from that hour. We know nothing of the girl other than she was suffering from a demon spirit. We do not know her age. We do not know the name of the mother. We do not know the name of the father. We don't know if she was confined to her home or if she went other places or what the actual problem was with the demonic spirit. But Jesus knows. We do not know. We do know that she was healed from that very hour. Her mother's prayers were answered. The bottom line is, every one of us needs to be like this woman. By nature, we are all enemies of the cross. Jesus could just plan to ignore us and send us on our way. We are people of need. Still, he wants to answer our prayers. He wants to give us what is needed as he sees what is needed. And the woman pursued after Jesus. And Jesus gave her faith. "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened." And for some, faith does not come that easy. And that we might have questions about whether we truly believe, But our focus needs to be on the accomplished works of Jesus Christ in his sufferings, his life, sufferings, death, resurrection, and ascension. Not on my faith. Not on my faith. But based on Jesus gives us that faith. So this woman's salvation was important to Jesus. We don't know if this girl was just simply healed from the demon suffering or not. I mean, just that, or if her soul was saved. But because Jesus Christ came, your sins and sinful commission are forgiven, or can be forgiven, pardoned, drowned in the deepest sea, removed as far as the east is the west. We asked about this woman. What did she believe? We ask about ourselves. What do we believe today? What is our relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ today? What is the relationship of our children to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are they walking with him? Shall we pray? Father in heaven, we thank and praise you on this day that we have life in Jesus. And he comes and meets our needs. And maybe at first he does not always answer our prayers. But one prayer he will answer immediately, and that is, Lord, save us, forgive us, cleanse us. And there will be immediate, we thank you, Lord, for that, immediate forgiveness and cleansing, and a continual forgiveness and cleansing as we walk with him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.